1 Corinthians 2:13 says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches. Man, there are loads of professors and teachers all over the world. But which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You compare spiritual things with spiritual. Now, when you start to look at, and I give you some things to think about here on the front, but the written and the living word, what I give you on the left-hand side in your little booklet are scriptures about the Lord Jesus Christ. When you open it up, on the left-hand side are scriptures about the Lord Jesus Christ. On the right-hand side of the page are scriptures about the Bible, the Word of God. And if you will look there, on the left-hand side, the Bible says about God, it says, I, the Lord, am what? Holy. The Lord our God is holy. Leviticus 20, verse 26, and Psalm 99, verse 9. But look on the right side. Look at how the Word of God is described. And that from a child thou hast known not just the Scriptures, but what kind of Scriptures? The Holy Scriptures. Romans 7, 12 says, wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, commandment holy, and just and good. So what would you write right between there? What would you say? The living Word of God, Jesus Christ, and the written Word of God, what would you say they both are? Holy. They both are holy. Let's look at the second one now. I'm not going to do them all. I'm only going to get you started because this is a good challenge for you to go home, look at these scriptures, and see that both Jesus Christ and that Bible are almost inseparable. The first one, about the Lord, God forbid, yea, let God be, but every man a liar. Look over to the right, Revelation 21, verse 5, speaking of the Word of God. Write, for these words are what? And faithful. 2 Samuel 7, 28 says, O Lord God, thou art God, and thy words be true. So what would you write in between the two? They're true, amen. Look at the third one there. Jesus saith, I am the way, the truth. John 14, 6, over to the right. John 17, 17, thy word is truth. Boy, all of a sudden I'm starting to get little goose pimples up and down my back, realizing I'm holding something that is very close to Jesus Christ. The third one was, is truth. The fourth one, your Father, which is in heaven, is what? Matthew 5:48 says, 2 Samuel 22, verse 3 says, his way is perfect, and being made, talking about Jesus, being made perfect. Now go over to the right. The law of the Lord is. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. What would you say the two of them are? They're perfect. Now, do I have one more? Yes, I do. Go back. I, the Lord, declare things that are right. Hosea 14:9 says, for the ways of the Lord are right. You can see this isn't very deep. This isn't very complicated. This is very simple, but I want to change that. It is very deep because over to the right, your Word of God, it says, for the word of the Lord is right. Not only are the ways of God right, but also the Word of God is right. So the fifth one, I think I got six here. Let's see. I got one more. Yeah. We got perfect, is right, and one more. Shall a man be more pure than his maker? What does that make God? Pure. Can anybody be purer than his maker? Not on your life. Look over to the right. Every word of God is pure. The words of the Lord are pure words. So our last one is? Well, it's not there. Is righteous, is pure. I'm going to tell you, you're going to go, and I'm not going to give you any more. Don't look real quick. It's gone. It's not going to be very hard for you to go and figure out, but I want you to see between the two that when you compare Jesus Christ with the Bible, they're nearly the same. The only difference is, I can hold this one. One day I will hold that one. Amen. Okay? But if he is all of those things that are described there, then so is this. See, I don't believe I just have a book. I don't believe I have a Bible that contains the Word of God. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I not only believe that Jesus is all powerful, the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any. You see, I want to give you the I want to give you an appreciation for the book you hold in your hand. That is, it is as if, not quite, but it is as if you have Jesus Christ. And you do. He lives and dwells in your heart. But he lives in that book. Peter said to Jesus, he said, "To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." I just love to listen to you. And I love to listen to my Bible as if he was talking to me. Amen? Don't let anybody take that out of your hand. Don't let anybody ever soil it. Don't let anybody change it. Would you like him to change Jesus? Do you want Jesus to be some long-haired hippie telling you to go smoke dope and do some hash and have some fun? No, I don't want anybody to change Jesus. And I don't want anybody to change that book. So there's a good little study there. I thought it'd be really cute for you to spend some time. Yes, ma'am? Yep. It should be in the middle. You just have to put it in there. You're going to have to look and think about it and think about it and think about it. We'll find out next week because I'll give you the answers next week. All right. And you're going to have to, when you think about it, you'll go, ah. So, all right. I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about how to study the Bible. Now, this is Eric was saying, I wish everybody was in Bible Institute. Okay, they're in Bible Institute now. The next 30 minutes, and I wish maybe 40 minutes, depends on how fast we can go. I want to teach you how to study your Bible in a very brief manner. you could probably find 20 books on how to study the Bible, and they're all very thick, and they give you the inductive method, they give you the deductive method, they give you exegetical studies, they give you all kinds of approaches on how to study the Bible. I want to be real simple tonight, but I do kind of want to get you thinking so that from tonight on, you got a better grasp on how to study the Word of God. Father, please bless. Thank you for the wonderful testimonies we heard tonight. Thank you just that the privilege of the teens going. I know they feel a little embarrassed. Feel like they want to be kids still, but they're growing up. The time is coming very soon, Father, where they're going to have to make some very, very adult decisions. Father, they need your help. They don't need the help of their friends. They don't need the help of the TV and magazines, the internet. They need you. Lord, I pray they got a good hunger for you this past 10 days. Thank you for giving them safety. I pray that they sit back and they realize just how safe you kept them. I pray they realize just how good you have been to them and how much you're investing in them and that they owe you. They're owned by you. God, that you love them and you designed them for great things. And I bow before them because I know not also what is going to become of them. I believe for great things. God, I don't want to even think that any of these teenagers are going to go off in the deep end and ruin their lives. I know they're going to fall, but a just man will get up again. I know they're going to have some regrets and remorses, but they, God, I pray that they have a focus and they have the prize, the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in their sights, and that they want to do something. I pray that they want to step into the cause that is today. David had to face Goliath. We've got some Goliaths to face today. Will you please bless our teens? Bless all of our kids. Thank you for the kids that are here tonight. I don't care how much noise there is. I'm just glad they're here. I pray that you bless these moms and these dads. God, these families. The devil's really good, and he's really working hard against families. I pray you rebuke the devil right now and give us a hunger for the Word of God so that we can fight with the sword of the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, our memory verse that we're learning this month is 2 Timothy 2:15. Get out of here. This thing is really bothering me. I don't know if the battery's going dead or what, but study to show thyself approved unto God. First word, study. A workman. That's not a nice word, is it? I mean, you graduated from school, or if you didn't graduate, you thought you're through with study. You're not. If you're saved, you're still supposed to study. Some people want to take the time off and say, you know, it's Sunday. I shouldn't have to do any thinking. Wrong. You got to do the most thinking when you come to this church. You got to make the most decisions. You've got to determine with all your heart. We were talking about that in the discipleship this afternoon, that with my whole heart have I sought thee. That ought to be the testimony of the Christian, a workman that needed not to be ashamed. And here's the key, rightly dividing the word of truth. Is it possible? Is it possible to misunderstand the Bible? Yeah. Is it possible for somebody to stand up and actually preach heresy? Is it possible? Of course it is. So we need to get to the place where we rightly divide the word of truth, because it's possible to wrongly divide it and end up with disaster. So, introduction. Did you know there's a three, now in your paper there's actually some fill-in if you want to use it. I'm going to ask you to use your notepad if you've got that in just a few minutes. But by way of introduction, there's a threefold goal of studying your Bible. The first one is to know God. Did you know, God didn't give you the Bible so it should become an egghead theologically. What does knowledge do? It puffs up. Makes you full of pride. Jeremiah chapter 9, and I'm just going to rush through some of these things. I'll be calling on people to read very soon. But Jeremiah 9:24 says, let not the mighty man glory in his strength, nor the rich man in his riches. But if he that glorieth, if he wants to glory, let him glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. If you want to get excited with the fact that you know God. The purpose of that Bible is for you to know God. You can go on a retreat. You can head out in the mountains. You can go into a cave. You can plug into the internet and you'll never find God. But you get into that book and you will meet him face to face. Second thing that the studying your Bible is to obey God. I know. Brother Dan, the real problem with Christianity is they stop at number one. Oh, I know Jesus. But did you know the second goal for reading your Bible and knowing your Bible is to do it? Be not, what does it say? But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves, James 1:22 says. So the goal is for me to find out what I'm supposed to do and then what? Do it. Teenagers, the greatest thing you'll ever accomplish in this life is what God asks you to do. Find out what he wants you to do and then do it. Third thing, the third goal of Bible study is to be like Jesus. Who can quote Romans 12:2? Who can quote, not being, be not what? Go ahead. All right, so I'm not supposed to be conformed to the world, but be transformed so I'm in the form of who? So I'm like Jesus Christ, and I do it by the renewing of my spirit, right? By the renewing of my soul. No, it's by the renewing of my mind. So when I get into that Bible, guess what gets plugged in, turned on, fed, and activated? The brain. Amen. I know, it's so small, hard to get in action. But your mind needs to be renewed. Secondly, did you know the kind of Bible you have matters? Now, I think this is a very good kind of Bible. Would you agree? You know, a Bible that's falling apart implies a life that's held together. Amen? The kind of Bible you have matters. The first thing I want to say about that is this. You need to have an authorized 1611 King James Bible if you want to get into Bible study. Did you know all other Bibles have problems with them? All of them. I don't care if you've got a new King James. It's not new. It's not new like improved. It's new like different. Secondly, how many of you have, I'm going to embarrass you. How many of you have one of the free gift Bibles that we give away? All right, that's King James Bible, but hold up your hands if you have one of the free gift Bibles. You know, the ones that we give away. How many? Put your hand up if you've got one. One, two, how many else, the rest of you? Some of you do, okay? Let me tell you, it's time to move up. It's time to get you a real Bible. Why? Because these things will fall apart. They're not made to be study Bibles. They're just the introduction. The binding will fall apart. The print is small. At night, your eyes will go bonkers, okay? You need a Bible that has the print that your eyes need. Some of you need, you know, half an inch type. But the Bible that you have, the kind of Bible you have, can help or break you. So get you a proper Bible. Get you one that has cross references in it. Don't have to, but you ought to have a center column down the middle of your Bible that has what are called cross references. A cross reference means you're reading along and there's a little, like mine has a little P on there. And another letter on a word later on, it says Q. And then on the next verse, it has another letter, R. And those little letters, you go into the middle line of your Bible, in that middle column, and there's another verse that has something about that same thought in somewhere else. And it gets you letting the Bible teach you about itself. You need a Bible like that. You need a Bible that has a concordance in the back. Where it actually, some of them actually have Bible dictionaries in them. It's brilliant. But a concordance where you can look up a word in the Bible and find out what the Bible teaches about that word. The kind of Bible that you have matters. Let me say, I don't know if I've got it here. Nope, come back here. Something I added this afternoon, I didn't put it into your notes, but did you know Satan attacks the Bible? Did you know Satan is a counterfeiter? Next month we're going to be talking about the counterfeiters, but did you know Satan will replace God's word? Are you ready? I think I did put it in yours. The first word is, he'll replace the word of God with busyness. He'll get you busy so that you're not in the Bible. Now, is being busy good? But he'll give you, when as long as you're watching television, as long as you're just taking a walk, nothing will happen. But when you get ready to read the Bible, the phone will ring. And emerge, the kids, at that moment, we'll get into a fight and somebody will have to go to the hospital. At that moment, all of a sudden you'll have something very important to do and busyness. Your mornings will be wrapped up. Second one, boredom. But that will give you boredom to replace your Bible. You'll sit there and you open the Bible and you go, I feel bored. I just don't feel like reading the Bible. Third thing that that Satan will replace God's word with is bad attitudes. You're not going to read that Bible and enjoy it as long as you have a bad attitude. As a matter of fact, I know this. You got a bad attitude and you come to the Bible, and if you stay in it long enough, God will fix your bad attitude. But it's hard to get motivated, so you start in the Bible, amen? Because bad attitudes stop you from getting in the Bible. Buddies are a counterfeit for the Word of God. I don't have the answers. No, I'm just giving you, I didn't add it to here. Buddies will be a great replacement for the Bible, won't they? Oh, they'll want to spend time with you. They won't bother with you all week long, but when you sit down and you say, you know, I need to get into my Bible, they'll call up and say, let's go do such a thing. Here's another counterfeit for Bible reading, Bible study, brief skimming. Brief skimming. If you sort of just open up the Bible, you just sort of glance at it and go, okay, that's a bad habit to get into. The devil will give you this attitude of, I don't want to get too deep. I don't want to get too fanatical, Jim. Brief skimming is a counterfeit for studious work in studying the Bible. Last one, bad habits. Hey, you stay up late. If you stay up late at night watching television or being on Facebook, and you get into the habit where you do not put the Bible and the reading of the Bible as a priority, that's the devil making it so that you do not read the Bible. Last thing I want to say here is you need to have some tools on hand. Stop. You need to have some tools on hand. We don't have any more concordance. I got to get some. There's a guy named, what's his first name? I don't even remember. We just know him as Strong. Amen. This guy back in the... James Strong. That's right. This guy had a burden to write down the location of every word in your Bible. He even wrote where every A was. I'm not talking about every letter, but like A man. A walk or whatever. So, and he would write down, like if you said, if you're reading the Bible and it says, the Lord our God is one Lord. All right. He wrote, and where that verse is in Deuteronomy 6:6, he wrote down Deuteronomy 6:6, the Lord our God is one Lord. Then on another page where he had Lord, he wrote Deuteronomy 6:6, the Lord our God is one Lord. On another page where he had God, he wrote Deuteronomy 6:6, the Lord our God is one Lord. I mean, we're talking tens of thousands of words. And you can have it for like 10 euros. And look up, when you're looking for a word, what would be a good word? Heart. Brilliant. I remember doing a study one time, I was looking at where the Bible says, let us love one another. I said, I wonder what other one another's there are. So I looked up another. I found a lot of anothers in the Bible. Look up the heart. You come up to a Bible verb, a Bible word, and it's a word you never heard of. Look it up there and see where it shows up. And you know what? A dictionary is a great thing, but sometimes you just read the Bible, and the Bible describes and defines itself. Get you a full concordance. Secondly, get you a notepad and a pencil or a pen. Some people are great with pencils. I like mechanical pencils. I like them because they're always the same point. They never, you know, you buy these cheap old school pens, and they're constantly breaking, and then you're having to... And you're never thinking. You're constantly, this thing is getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. This thing is beautiful. It costs you €2 and a mechanical pencil and your Bible. They just go together. Or maybe you're a pen guy. I don't care. But you need something to write with. And you need a good dictionary. You know why? Because we're dumb. We don't know what the words mean. So get you a dictionary. And then lastly, make time. But you know, time is a tool. If you have no time, you're not going to learn the Bible. Now, let me get into the real heavy stuff. There are 5 or 6 things I want to talk about. And go to Matthew chapter 19 and verse 4. Matthew 19. If you just read your Bible, you're 900 miles ahead of all the rest of the pack. Amen. Secondly, pray. John 16:13, Kathy, if you don't mind. John 16 and verse 13. Don't you think that you're going to be able to figure this book out without some highly educated help? John 16:13, let me introduce you to the help. Amen.
For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show the things to come.
So who are we talking about? The Holy Spirit. And when he came, what was one of his primary jobs in the heart and the life of the Christian? Well, we know that. But to guide you into all truth, to take and put his arm around and says, let me show you this. Let me show you that. Have you ever seen that before? Have you ever done that yet? Mr. Ledbetter, that's a command to you. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. You need to pray. Let's go to Psalm 119 verse 18, Nita. Psalm 119 and verse 18. Would you agree the Bible is a hard book sometimes to read? You'd like to have a teacher sometimes? Do you know God anticipated the fact that you might be in a family, Noel, where there's nobody else in your family who wants to talk about God. So he says, I'll show up and I'll help you in the form of the Holy Spirit. Nita, Psalm 119, verse 18.
Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law.
And if we don't pray that, sometimes our eyes may be wide open reading the words, but we're not getting it. Amen? So it's very wise to say, God, help me see what I'm supposed to see today. Show me what I'm supposed to learn. So if you're not interested, hey, what do you do, Emriel, if you don't want to read the Bible? Or if you're not really interested in learning the Bible on your own, what should you do? Be very worried. You know, if you're not hungry for this book, something inside of you is messed up. If you're saved, and this book is not something that you hunger for, you know what you need to pray for? You need to ask God to make you hungry. Now, be careful, because you'll probably be asking for a trial. But that trial will be worth it if you get close to God again. Pray and ask God and say, God, I'm reading my Bible. I'm not getting anything. I just don't seem to be hungry. I'm nibbling. I'm kind of full, kind of not getting anything out of it. Say, God, I want to be hungry again for you. I want to know you. I want to walk with you. I want to talk with you. I want to listen to you. Amen. He'll help you. Third thing, start looking for treasure. Start looking for treasure. My mom will tell you, when I was about 9 years old, I watched Treasure Island or a movie about finding treasure. And what did I do? I dug up the gourd. I'm telling you, I and my friend Alan Hunter. Alan was my best friend. And Alan went and he got his shovel and I got my shovel and we said, where do we start? Well, first we had to decide what we were looking for. And we said, treasure. So we went in the back garden and I remember, man, it was terrible. The garden had been mowed and was beautiful and we just, right here, we just took a rock and we scratched an X and we said, there it is, look, we found it. It's like we just found it. And we started to dig. We didn't find treasure, but we had the time of our life. Let me tell you, ever since I got saved, I went looking for treasure. You know what the difference is? I find it every time. I find treasure because I go looking for it. Hey, let me give you an illustration. Brother, and this is a great thing for the teenagers, Brother John. This is even greater for the RU. Jesus tells a parable about the kingdom of heaven, and he says, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man who found a pearl of great price. But do you know how he found a pearl of great price? He went looking for goodly pearls. He wasn't looking for rocks. He wasn't looking for snails. He wasn't looking for fish. He says, I'm going to go looking for pearls. And then God gave him a pearl of great price. Let me tell you, in our RU program, there are some pearls of great price. In our teenagers, there's some pearls of great price. But we're never going to find them until we go looking and thinking that they're worth finding. And that we find some, we think they're duds, but they're goodly pearls. But then every once in a while, God will show you a pearl of great price. You need to get into your Bible and start looking for the goodly pearls, the wonders and the fantastic truths that are in the Bible. And then all of a sudden, wow, you'll find a pearl of great price. And it'll knock you off your seat. Look at Proverbs chapter 2. Marzia. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. So is this guy looking for a girlfriend? Kind of sounds like it, doesn't it? But who is Solomon teaching his son to search for? Wisdom. And if you go looking for wisdom, if you go looking for truth, if you go looking for treasures in the Word of God, like you're looking for silver, like some of you guys are looking for a girlfriend, you'll find her. In talk about the Bible. Go to 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 and 10, Michael, if you don't mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10.
But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor eye has entered into the heart of man, the things of which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God.
All right, so I've never seen heaven. The Bible says, I have not seen, neither has an ear heard. It's never even entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared. You can't imagine what God can do. Is that true? He does exceeding abundantly above what we can even dream of and what we can ask for. Amen? So what he does is he says, I do reveal it unto those that go looking for it, though. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not, which you've never even imagined. Listen, look for treasures. What do I mean by treasures? Look for truths in your Bible. Look for absolute, unchanging truths. Noel's sitting there talking about the ways girls are dressing, the guys are drinking. You know, you better find out whether that Bible says that you can dress any way you want or whether you can't. And then you need to say, it's a truth. And whether my friends are doing it, whether everybody else around me is doing one thing, if I find in the Bible, I shouldn't do it, what should you do? You shouldn't do it. You should obey God. Amen. So find a truth, man. You know what I like? When I got saved, I got into this Bible and I found it to be true. And it's like finding, you're like in a sewer. And you stink. And the slime and the swill and the awfulness of that environment. And then somebody shows you a clear river, man. You'd never go back, would you? And that drink of that pure water, and I've been drinking it ever since. I love truth. Bible says thy word is very pure. Amen. How about some principles? The Bible calls them precepts. They're a right way of thinking and living. You need to go looking for prophecies in your Bible. You need to look for the treasures of the promises of God. I guarantee you, this week or next week, you're going to want to have a promise that you can cling to. How about the treasure of commands? God doesn't make suggestions. He says, this is the way. Walk ye in it. What about the warnings? Did you know, I appreciate the warnings of the Bible. I'm driving along this road here, and a red light starts flashing. I don't agree. I don't think I ought to slow down. And all of a sudden, a train, right in front of me. That red light was trying to warn that a train was coming. Warnings are good, aren't they? You better start looking for the warnings in the Bible. Amen. How about looking for the answers in the Bible? Be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh of thee the hope that lieth in you. Amen. Find some answers. Did we come from apes? Or did we come as a divine, creative act of God? How about looking in your Bible for the treasure of the will of God? I don't know about you, but I enjoy sitting back here, not because I'm qualified, not because I feel competent, but because I'm in the will of God. I found the will of God, Brother Dan. And I found it to be a treasure. I don't care if anybody else agrees with me or not. I found the treasure. And you know, take your Bible, turn to John chapter 5 and verse 39. John chapter 5 and verse 39. Let's see, Emrio, please. John 5, 39. Oh, I said Emrio. I am sitting here looking at Eddie. Go ahead, but I'll come back to you, Eddie. My brain was not engaged. Maybe it was of the Lord. I don't know. Okay, go ahead there, Emrio.
Yeah, search the scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they which testify of me.
So when you're reading the Bible, what is the Bible testifying about?
About Jesus.
About Jesus. Hey, you read along in there. You need to start looking and start trying to find out, where is Jesus here? Look at Luke chapter 24 and verse 27. Luke chapter 4 and verse 27. I guess we'll go back and forth like this there. Graham, you'll do the next one. Luke chapter 24, verse 27. Chapter 24, verse 27. That is cool. So he began in Moses, which was Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and he started to tell them, and he went through the prophets, and he taught him, and he told these two disciples on the road to Emmaus, he told them about himself. Now look at verse 44. But you know, you'll find Jesus in the Psalms. One of the most powerful Psalms in the most powerful chapter in the book of Psalms is about Jesus is Psalm 22. The very first words in Psalm 22 are, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Who is about Jesus. The whole chapter is about Jesus on the cross. It's about Jesus. You better start looking in your Bible for the treasure of who Jesus is and what he thinks and what he's like. Next thing. So when you're reading your Bible, this is not real deep. When you're reading your Bible, look for Jesus. Look for the codes. Gina, here's In the Old Testament, there's a code, I want to say a code name for Jesus. It was at a time when the children of Israel came out of Egypt. They're in the wilderness. It's desert. And Moses is supposed to get water. And where was Jesus? And he was the rock. Because Moses comes to the rock two times. The first time he comes to the rock and he takes his big rod that had become a serpent. He takes that rod that he had been able to defend, or not to defend, but begin to stand against Pharaoh with. He takes that rod and he strikes the rock. And that rock splits open and enough water to give water to 1.5 million people comes out of that rock. A few years later, they come to the same rock, same situation. They're thirsty and they're complaining. God says, now you come to the same rock. Now I want you to speak to the rock. Just say hello. Just say, how are you doing? Just say something to it. And it will bring forth water. And you know what Moses does? He raises that rod again. He looks in anger and bitterness at those people that have been a burden to him, to those people who have made him angry and made him full of wrath. And he takes that stick and he hits that rock. And nothing happens. Why? Because Jesus does not have to die again. You know what? Jesus died 2,000 years ago. He was smitten. All I have to do is speak to him now. Amen? And what he did 2,000 years ago still brings forth water in my life now. That rock, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, that rock was Christ. Start looking in your Bible for Christ there. Amen? Look for Jesus. Let's go on very quickly. Write something down. Now, how many of you have a notebook? Let me see them. How many have a notebook? Put your hand up there. You got them? You got them? If you didn't bring it, doesn't matter. If you got a notebook, good. How many of you, don't raise your hands, but nod with me, how many of you have started to write something in your notebooks? Something, any. Don't write recipes. But write something biblical. Don't doodle. Don't draw pictures. All right? No mustaches. Write something down in your notebook. Because look at Isaiah chapter 30, verse 8, Gina. Isaiah 30 and verse 8. I'm telling you, science finally caught up. Back in the 1950s, they finally found out that you only learn and things actually only stick in your brain when you write down what you're listening to. And yet the Bible says, write down something so it lasts forever and ever. Amen. You say, well, this won't last. No, but this will. And it won't stick here until you penned it there. Do you understand what I'm saying? Any professor will tell you, take my notes and write them. That's why God told the kings to sit down and make their own copy of the Bible. Why? So that what they read, that they thought about, that they wrote about would stick. So write something. Write something when you're reading. What are the things you should do? You should write out your own... Get back down here. You should write out your own thoughts as you read the Bible. Don't write what Pastor Craig thinks. Write what you're thinking. When I first got saved, I'm telling you, I really wish I had my first notebook. I don't know where it is. I would write up at the top, I would write Matthew 5. Okay. And then I'd write a number 1 over here for verse 1. And I'd be sitting there looking at verse 1. And you know what I'd do? I'd put a question mark. So I'd write number 2 and I'd read verse 2. I didn't get it either and I'd put a question mark there. But you know what's funny? I still remember it. And I remember after reading my Bible through the first time and I started reading the second time and I went back to those notes, those question marks weren't needed anymore. I remembered, I'm going to see if I learned something the first time I read it, and I wrote out something that I learned. And really, I don't know about you, but that first year of my salvation, I thought, I didn't know I wasn't supposed to spend so much time in my Bible. I loved just writing something down, and I did it for every single verse. Now, you'll be there all day. I'm not telling you to write something for every single verse, but you know, if you've got time, you might just actually enjoy it. Write out your thoughts. I'm not telling you. Let me say this. When you read a verse, let's take a Bible. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Is it 15? Let me go to chapter. Let's go to chapter 15. Oh no, I mean, chapter 7, verse 21. Matthew 7, 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. You know what you need to do on your notebook? Write it out what you just read in your own words. Not everybody who thinks they're saved is. That's what he's saying, isn't it? Let's keep going. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And you write down, miracles don't mean salvation. Verse 23, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Write down the saddest words. I never knew you. I mean, just write something that you think when you read that. Don't worry, I want to write everything that he said. No, take it in, digest it, put it in your own words, even if it's in Afrikaans. Write it down. I'm going to go a little further. Where is it where it says, broad is the gate, wide is the gate? Oh, I was looking for this. 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that which go in thereat. Now, do you talk like that? No, but Jesus did. So you don't change what he wrote. You don't change what he said, but you do put it in your own words. Could you say it a little bit differently? Could you look at it and go, get in the hard gate. Take the hard path. Because easy is the way that leads to destruction, and there's a whole lot of people going there. Amen? Now, what am I doing? I'm not telling you to rewrite the Bible. Some of you are freaking out. Hold on to your hat. I'm telling you to think through what you're reading so you understand. And when you're writing it out, you're actually understanding. Because some of you are like, I don't know what it's saying. Well, think about it, and then when you put in your own words, you go, now I understand what it's saying. Does that make sense? You will absolutely fly when you start writing down what you're learning. Okay, write out your thoughts. So, write down definitions. I remember when Eddie and his wife, Tess, were coming to the activity center, and we were doing the discipleship. They brought their notebook. And I'm telling you, every time, about every couple of minutes, we'd find a new word, wouldn't we? And he'd go, oh, what did that mean? And then I'd say, oh, well, this means this. And they'd write down the definition of a word. Some of you are too proud to admit you don't know what words are. When you discover the meaning of a word like propitiation, you better write that one down. When you find the meaning of a word like imputation, you gotta write that down. When you discover the meaning of the word mammon, you need to write that down. When you discover the meaning of the word charity, the biblical meaning, write that down. Write, again, what you will understand, write questions. You know, just having the right question is sometimes more important than finding the right answer, because you may not appreciate the answer until you've got the right question. And then you ought to write out verses. Write out verses, write them out word for word, the ones you want to memorize. So, what's the first thing we should do if we're going to study our Bible? What's the very first thing? Read your Bible. Secondly, pray. Third thing, look for treasures. Fourth thing, write something down. Fifthly, search for right answers. You know, you may write something down and it'll be off the wall. Amen. Hey, Paul was inspired. We're not. Can you come to the wrong conclusion, Michael, when you're reading your Bible and you're writing down stuff? Can you come to the way off wrong conclusion? Amen? Yeah. So, 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study now. Study to show yourself approved to God. You don't have to prove anything to me. You know, one rule at the Bible Institute is this. Am I not right? Give the answers I want. Amen? But you know, when it comes to the Bible and comes to God, you better find the answers He wants. You better find what he says. Now, hopefully, I and him agree for the most part. It's called rightly dividing. Always test what you understand, no matter who's preaching. If Kenny Baldwin were here, Fozzie, you know what you should be doing? Let's go to Acts 17:11. Jimmy, Acts 17:11. Acts 17:11. Go ahead, Jim. Do you know who was preaching? Paul was preaching. The Apostle Paul. The greatest apostle. I think he's even greater than Peter. He wrote 14 books of the New Testament. Peter only wrote 2. And Paul is up there preaching to these people in a little town called Berea. And you know what they said? Whoa, Paul, stop, stop. What chapter is that? Where's that in there? And they searched to make sure if it was so, if what he was saying was right. Hey, always test. First, what somebody's saying. Secondly, what you're thinking. Because you may come to the Bible and have it all figured out. We're going to be abducted by aliens. You better verify that, amen? There's a goon out in America. There's always weirdos in America. That's why I left. No. I'm not watching it. I'm safe over here. There is some goon over in America who says that the world's going to be destroyed on May 21st. You seen the ads? Seen them around? Everybody's talking about it. I'm glad they're talking about it, but it's a false prophecy. I hope it happens beforehand, amen? But you know what? You ought to be able to look instantly, and if somebody were to stand up here and says, the world is coming again to the end on the 21st of March, you know where she should go? Get out. How can you do that? How can you be so... That man must have had a vision. He must have really studied his Bible. He's a liar. He's a false prophet. No man knows the day or the hour. Amen. So my point is this. Just because somebody has his collar on backwards, just because somebody is a very right reverend, just because somebody is very prophetic, somebody is so eloquent, somebody is so powerful in their preaching, check them out. Test what you hear. Test what you think. Compare what somebody's saying with the rest of the Bible. If I stood up and I said, you must endure to be saved. The Bible says endure to the end and you shall be saved. Go, where's that chapter? Let me look at the context. No. That's for the tribulation. And that's for people who are running from the Antichrist. I'm going to be out of here. So that verse doesn't apply to me. Amen. You've got to have some sort of ability to test religious teachers. Be careful with Old Testament scriptures because some of them, man, their context doesn't apply to you or me. Always discover, always ask yourself, who's doing the talking? Who are they talking to? And then find out what they're talking about before you come to a conclusion. That is the key to Bible study. A lot of people will use what are called proof texts. They'll find a verse and they'll say, you got to endure. Hey, take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 10. I'll show you something. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Verse 1, and when he had called unto him his 12, note the word, what's the next word? His 12, all right, so they're first known of as disciples. He then gave them what? Power against unclean spirits, those are demons. That was the ability for them to cast them out. He also gave them the ability to heal how many diseases? All manner, they could heal AIDS, they could heal cancer, they could heal all manner of diseases and all sickness and all manner of diseases. Verse 2. Now the names of the 12 what? All of a sudden they've changed, haven't they? They've become apostles. Are these. And the first one was Simon, who's called Peter. Da, 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 da. Down to verse 7. As ye go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Jesus gave them how much power? A whole, well, not quite all, but a whole lot of power. Amen. Has he given us that? I'm glad somebody said that. He gave the 12. He made them into apostles. We'll never get there. You see, when you start to study the Bible and somebody comes up and he says, I'm an apostle, all you got to do is bring your dead grandmother or bring them to your dead grandmother and say, there's grandma and she is waiting. Raise her from the dead, amen? He should be able to, right? If you freely got that gift, then give it. Don't go around and have a big seminar. Don't charge people 100 euros a head. Give if you can do it. And they don't. You need to start looking in your Bible and not just finding treasures, that's good, but finding answers and finding right answers. Search the scriptures. I got a lot of examples. We don't have time to go there. Lastly, do something with what you learn. I called it this. I said, go soul winning. That's your fill in. Go to Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. Now, Edberto. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. Do something with what you learn. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30. Wow. Is it easy to win a soul? No. Is this how you win a soul? It felt good. Is this how you win a soul? You know how you win a soul? Hey, friend, can I talk to you for a minute? I got kind of on my heart, and I've probably passed by you a dozen times, but today I just felt like I needed to talk to you. Do you mind if I show you something that not only changed my life, it first scared me? And the Bible, if you've never read it, the Bible says here in Hebrews chapter 9, and I mean, I don't know if you understand this, but it says, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. And when I was 17 years old, I was not ready for the judgment. And a friend stopped me and started, well, a woman stopped me and asked me where I was going when I died. Now, what am I doing? I'm reasoning. And if somebody ever gets saved, it'll make you wise. Because that back and forth, as he says, well, I don't believe the Bible. And you say, well, let me just show you how the Bible proves itself. You say, how do you learn how to give all those answers? From your own study. From the time that you spent in church where you sat and you soaked it in. And then when you sat down, and you know what's funny? Some of you have done this. You've been out there and you've knocked on the doors. You sat with somebody and you tried to give them your testimony. And all of a sudden, stuff was coming out of your mouth that you didn't know you knew. And you went away from there going, wow, how do you know that's smart? But it had, because all the stuff you hear week after week after week gets in there, and you don't even know what's in there. But when you are face to face, heart to heart, sword to sword, all of a sudden that stuff comes up, amen? And you become wise, amen? All right, look, go soul winning. It will force you to have some answers. It will help you to find the things that will change lives. Hey, teach a Sunday school class. I'm watching Sean Linehan. He comes back. This is what he looks like after Sunday school. I says, you okay? He says, time of my life. I said, why? I'm learning so much. Not about child training. That's why he's tired, because he doesn't know how to keep the kids under control. But he says, every single night I'm learning my lesson and I'm learning so much. Amen. Amen. You want to study. Study for a purpose. Study for a class that you're going to teach. Teach a Sunday school class. That's why we look for helpers, because we think that when you sit in Sunday school and it's wonderful, you're watching somebody teach, and then the teacher says, next week, you teach it. And they go, and all of a sudden you're sitting and you're pouring through the Bible and you're trying to make sure it all makes sense. And you end up learning. help out in any, every single one of our ministries, music ministry. Hey, you know what we do in the music ministry? We ask ourselves, is this song scriptural? Is this music spiritual or is it carnal? We ask ourselves, we have to go to the Bible to help us have a define what is right kind of music. Every ministry we're in will challenge you to take what you learn and apply it. Too many Christians that I know are Dead Seas. What's a Dead Sea? In Palestine, where Israel is, this is the area where Israel is, Jerusalem is here. There is the Sea of Galilee where Jesus grew up. And you have the Jordan River where Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. And then you have this rather large lake. And this lake is called the Dead Sea. That's not very deep, but does anybody know why? This thought is not very deep here. The lake may be. Does anybody know why it's called the Dead Sea? Eddie? Okay, well you're taking my preaching. It's dead because there's nothing alive in it. There is nothing but minerals. The water is so thick you can get into it and you won't sink. Now, why is it dead? Now, Eddie, there's no outlet. You see, fresh water here, fresh water there. It has an outlet and it flows into here and sits and stinks. And some of you take in King James Bible verses. Some of you take in great truths, amen. And you just soak it in. And then it sits there day after day, week after week, month. Hey, how many like a cool glass of milk? Isn't it wonderful? Just refreshing. Let it sit for a month and then drink it. Nothing that sits is going to be good for you. Not even wine. Many, many Christians just soak it in, and they never get it out. Let me tell you, the best way to make your life fresh and alive and vibrant is to take the little, I don't care how little you know, just get it out. All of a sudden, you'll learn more than you've ever imagined. Do something with what you learn. Let me talk to you about some final thoughts. Four things. Number one, contradictions are usually just opportunities to learn deeper truths. In Exodus, God says this: any enemy of Israel must be killed. Jesus Christ, 1,500 years later, says any enemy must be prayed for. Must be. Do you know what? You look at a contradiction in the Bible. It's not a contradiction, it's a deeper truth. And you need to just study it out and find, you know what, he was dealing with the enemies that are attacking the nation of Israel. And you have a right for self-defense. But you know what, if somebody hates you, you have no right for self-defense. As a matter of fact, you got to give them the other cheek. So any kind of contradictions you find in your Bible actually are opportunities to learn deeper truths. Secondly, not everything you read in your Bible is simple. As a matter of fact, let me say this. Most of the time, you'll be reading the Bible and not understanding it. Did I say that? Is that true or not? So not everything in your Bible is simple. It's going to take some time. Give yourself some time. I'm saved 30 years. Don't try to catch up with me so quick and figure everything out as fast as I see something. By the way, I don't see it all either. Thirdly, there's a lot of milk in your Bible. There are a lot of great things that are just you can pick up like this, amen? But there's a lot of meat too. There's a lot of things that you come to and you're going to have to chew on it. Remember, yeah, I can just see Lucy and you giving her first bite of meat. And she's going to go. And 10 minutes later. Because meat takes a lot of effort to chew and to digest. And there's some things in that Bible you may have to chew on for years before your heart finally is able to grasp it and live by it. Amen? Read your Bible. Cover to cover. I'm going to ask, and I'm going to be embarrassed, but I'm going to go ahead and ask. How many of you have, since you've been saved, read your Bible all the way through? Put your hand up. Oh man, I am encouraged. I am encouraged. You're nearly there. Woo! I pray all of you are nearly there. Don't you miss this thing. We're not supposed to be spiritual eggheads. We're supposed to be Bible readers, first and foremost. Secondly, pray for help. Constantly, before you read your Bible, while you're reading your Bible, after you read your Bible, just praise God, thank God for the Holy Spirit guiding you. Third, look for treasures. Don't look for words. Even though the words are there, look for people. Look for lies. I love putting my feet into the shoes of the people that I'm reading about and trying to experience things that they experience. Write something down in your notebook. Now, you didn't have time to write anything down. But tonight, when you're reading your Bible before you go to bed, and you are going to read your Bible before you go to bed. Come on, not. You are going to read your Bible before you go to bed. You're going to write something down, aren't you? Please do. Take that book, and I mean fill it up. Nobody else has to look at it. Just you and God. And you may never make sense of it ever. But it'll help that book make sense in this mind and this heart of yours. Search for right answers. There are too many people out there that'll just say anything. So I'm like, people don't understand how much time I spend preparing for preaching, how much time I spend preparing for teaching. I just don't want to talk. I just don't want to get up here and say things that maybe people want to hear. As a matter of fact, I notice, I can tell when I'm saying something that people don't want to hear. But I've made, and I worked very hard to make sure I give you a right answer. And then go soul with it. I mean, you say, well, I can't teach. You can talk at the door. You can hand a gospel tract. You can have somebody make fun of you. It'll make you wise. Let's stand. Let's bow in prayer.